With the threat of COVID-19 and lockdowns all over the world, and now with Delta at our doorstep in New Zealand, the use of masks is not only commonplace, but also becoming increasingly compulsory. Now, that being said, what happens when we meet others down the street with our masks on? Does it change how we interact? I mean, I know for one that I'm more likely to gesture with my body, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But also, what happens when we bring artificial intelligence into the picture?
The ability of AI to recognise or identify the identity of people drops from 90-something percent to just 12% with a mask on.
Hadasu Abdullahi-Shehu is a PhD student at Victoria University, and his research investigates emotions from facial expressions through to the physiological changes that take place. And due to the quality of audio recorded via Zoom during lockdown and in consultation with Hadasu, we've used an actor's voice word for word just to make it easier to understand. He says investigating the use of mask wearing and emotions has a range of benefits, but has also illuminated some problem areas for those who rely on lip reading.
So researchers
have started thinking about how people with hearing aids can communicate with lip reading. Face masks cover the lips, so there are manufacturers who have come up with a new type of face mask which allows the lips to be visible so that people with hearing aids can still lip read while the face is covered. When it comes to emotions and speech, when the face is covered by a mask, the AI makes a random guess. If, for example, you make a happy face, the AI might make an accuracy reading of 100% if there's no mask covering the face. But when you use the face mask, the AI just randomly guesses the facial expression because it gets confused. The reason behind that is because this artificial intelligence is trained to read images of people without a face mask. The algorithms that are used in this AI system memorize the kind of features you give them. They're not expecting to see something with a face mask, which is why they won't perform well in this scenario.
Which begs a question. Does the AI even recognise a human being as a human being while wearing a mask? Or does it see something else?
Sometimes it might recognise
a face. Research has shown that the ability of AI to identify the identity of people drops from 90-something percent to 12% with a mask on. This is less than a random guess, which is really low.
Hadasu says with the ongoing issues around the pandemic as a transmissible virus, robots could be beneficial in places like care homes and hospitals.
Forwards.
At the moment, places like Japan have robots in retail stores. There's even a hotel staffed by them. They have female and male robot staff to make you feel at home. There are even robotic fish in the fish tanks. But why is it important for artificial intelligence to recognise facial expressions and our emotions in the first place?
To be able to introduce robots
to interact with people in a hotel or retail store, the robots need to understand people's emotions for them to react in an intuitive way to enhance a customer experience. I came from Tokyo before coming to New Zealand, and Tokyo has a new airport. And in the centre of the airport there, there are robots there to help people, trying to direct them to places. If you want to ask questions, the airport deploys robots to help people to find their way around in the airport.
But how far off are we in New Zealand from having robots incorporated into our everyday lives?
I see this will happen
more in the future, maybe in the next 10 years.
So given that there's a greater potential for robots and AI to become an increasing part of our everyday lives, what research is going on to enable robots to read the parts of our face that are visible while wearing a mask?
Right now, I'm developing
an algorithm that pays attention only to the uncovered regions of the face. For example, even if the face is covered with a face mask, we'll pay more attention to the eyes. And let's say the eyes are covered with sunglasses. We'll pay more attention to the lower part of the face, the nose and the mouth and the cheeks.
This new attention-based method, mirroring human cognitive processing, is proposed to categorise emotion from partially covered faces.
this kind of system.
This kind of system is anticipated to pay more attention to more important regions of the face. With this kind of system, I believe robots will be able to analyze the emotion of people in a better way, even if part of the face is covered. We've already started collecting data, and we've developed a data set which not only considers the face, but will also look at brain activity, because we believe that people might fake their emotions at some point, like playing poker or something like that. That's why we're also looking at the brain activity and, for example, the physiological changes. You can develop this sort of system for lie detection. But for my research, it is more focused on emotion detection. So we don't care about who the person is. We're not doing facial recognition, because that has to do with the identity of a person. We just want to identify what emotion that person is feeling at that moment.
But what happens when we look at people from ethnically diverse backgrounds and cultures? What are the obstacles? And how does that change the ability of AI to read emotions, especially if other cultures are not so expressive?
Yes, actually, there is a pioneer.
Yes, actually, there is a pioneer in this field called Paul Eichmann, who says there are six different categories of emotion: anger, disgust, fear, happiness, sadness, and surprise. So these six categories of emotions have been seen as the emotions expressed by everyone, irrespective of their culture, gender, or race. But this is simply not the case. If you go to Papua New Guinea and ask someone what their emotion is, they'll probably tell you that it's anger, because that's what people use as an expression of emotion. That's why we're looking at the physiological changes, not only the facial expressions. From the physiological changes, what we're looking at is the intensity of the emotion, like the arousal, rather than the categories of emotions.
As part of his research, Harisu sent out a survey to people from around the world who come from different cultural backgrounds. Now, what he discovered is that some facial emotions or expressions weren't so easily detected or identified as expected.
Someone got back to me saying that they saw one expression as happiness, but it also wasn't detected on any of the levels I provided. I provided several levels, which are the six basic expressions: anger, disgust, fear, neutral, sad, and surprise. But that one person sent an email saying that they couldn't see any level of the expression there.
Now, to figure out how hard this actually was, I got Harisu on video and asked him to put a face mask on while I tried to read his different emotions.
Okay, so maybe you can give me like a thumbs up when you feel like you've nailed the emotion you're thinking of. Surprise.
Yes. How about this?
Anger.
Yes, anger.
Shock.
No.
I mean, okay, so your eyes are wide. Horror. Scared.
Fear,
right, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And we'll do one more.
I would probably put myself about 7 or 8 when it comes to reading faces.
Contentment? No, that was a no.
But in this instance, I actually needed at least 4 or 5 attempts.
I get one more try? One more try on that one? Sadness?
No.
Oh, smiling, happy.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I was really surprised to discover that the one emotion I thought would be the easiest to identify, happiness, was in fact the most difficult.
So people
have a different perspective, and there's no such thing as this has to be happiness. We just assume that if you see the mouth is wide and the cheek is pulled, that this is happiness. But this is just an assumption based on the literature. You might say pain is an emotion, and this is also valid. You might say hunger is an emotion.
And this brings the term hangry to mind. We all know what that can feel like when it hits, even before our tummies start rumbling. So, according to Harisu, reading emotions, whether by humans or robots, isn't clear-cut with or without a mask.
That's why, like, for example, maybe stress you can...
That's why, for example, maybe with stress you can assume you might be able to recognise it in someone's face. But with hunger, you have to look at physiological changes, rather than just facial expressions.
Psychological changes rather than the facial expression.
Now, one of the challenges, and I don't know if you see it as a challenge, but in terms of, you talked about facial recognition not being so important, but just the emotions. I mean, I was reading the article you sent me that robots struggle to recognise or assess ethnicity. Is that problematic, or does that kind of put everybody on the same kind of level playing field in a way?
That is problematic, actually, because...
Because assuming you train the algorithm to analyse the emotions with pictures of people only from New Zealand, let's say you put this system in an airport and someone from another country is coming to New Zealand, it would be the first time for the robot to see the picture of someone from that country. And if people from that country express their emotions differently, then the AI will perform badly.
But then comes a challenge of the human ability to read facial expressions. Do human beings outperform robots when it comes to reading emotions? Well, the answer to that is...
Without the masks, actually, human beings perform at a lower accuracy than robots, because for human beings, they have different perspectives and ideas.
And that also means there's a greater chance for AI to be trained in a way where there are certain biases.
With robots, when you teach them how to analyse the emotions of people in New Zealand, and they see people only from New Zealand, then the AI will perform well. But for human beings, even if they've been in New Zealand their whole life, and you ask what the emotion a person is showing, they might say different things. But robots are more likely to say the same thing once they've been programmed. But the challenge for human beings is that we have other things we use, like speech and body gestures, which add to the context of what we're trying to say.
Which brings me to the point about body language and gestures. Now, what I've discovered while wearing a mask is that my gestures are so much larger when I'm wearing one. I'll shrug my shoulders for longer. I'll wait and watch the other person, taking cues from their body language rather than their face. In some instances, I've almost felt like I've been doing pantomime movements, taking my physical gestures to the extreme. So what's your ultimate goal with the research, like in the short term and the long term?
In the short term, the goal is to analyse how these systems perform when part of the face is covered, and care needs to be taken when using these results from AI systems. But in the long term, we are looking at an algorithm that pays attention to certain regions of the face, the uncovered parts of the face. I believe that the system can be used in lots of situations, even if we are using a different kind of covering apart from face masks.
Harusu says the proposed method has significantly improved the performance of AI compared to a number of effective emotion recognition methods, increasing the accuracy by up to 50%.
This system will pay more attention to uncovered regions, irrespective of the type of covering. The long-term goal is to produce a system that will perform this task, irrespective of the COVID situation, whether the face is covered or not.
I'm Sonia Yee, and that was Harusu Abdullah-Shehu from Victoria University in Wellington. The transcription of the audio was read by Damien Galvin. And you're listening to Our Changing World. If you'd like to listen to more episodes from the series, you can head to Our Changing World in the RNZ series and podcast page, or head to Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.